Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can still claim your free audiobook when you sign up to a free one-month trial of the Audible service when you go to audible.co.uk/footballramble. You might choose Pete's favourite audiobook, Bright Lights, Big City by Jay McEnany, or you might choose Luke's favourite audiobook, Digital Fortress by Dan Brown, or one of nearly 60,000 titles. Go and claim your free audiobook at audible.co.uk/footballramble now.
Open your ears, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and I've got Jim with me.
Hello.
Pete.
Hello.
And Luke.
All right.
As if I need any more. Lovely to have you here, as always, gentlemen. Right,
it's
we're going to...
be here, Marcus. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, well, yeah. It's good of me to let you.
I feel like you say that every week and we don't really probably appreciate it. Return the favour. It's lovely to be here with you too.
Thanks, chap.
Yeah.
Right, talking of chaps, Roberto Mancini wore a David Platt mask at a Manchester City press conference the other day. If you had to wear a mask of a footballer or someone from the world of football just for a day, who would you choose, Jim?
Right, I want to get some clarification on this. How good is the mask? Could people feasibly think I'm the person?
Yes.
Like in Mission Impossible, it can... It's
oh,
like
yeah, this is good. Because that was a piss-poor mask Mancini had.
Yeah. And was he wearing it because he had sent Platt out to press conferences and everyone was, like, chipping off that he was in the mood or something?
It was something like that. And he was like, do you want David?
It sort of reminded
me... They put some
bit...
effort in, though. It was laminated, you know. I wouldn't laminate a mask just for a prank.
Who did
prank.
That?
Exactly, that's what I wanted.
Scott
Sinclair, I would imagine.
Yeah, he's got nothing else on.
Roque Santa Cruz.
Yeah. Somebody's been waiting to laminate David Platt, I imagine. He's just a pricker.
I like the idea of Mancini's thought process behind it, because it's quite Alan Partridge. Oh, yeah, I think I'm not a laugh. I've got something that'll cheer him up.
Yeah.
It's a really sort of Italian joke.
Mm. You remember that volley against Belgium, 1990?
Yeah.
That was me, him. Dear, oh dear, Jim.
I would wear a mask of Clarence Seedorf, purely because everybody loves Clarence Seedorf.
Well, that's a good
so
one.
If you could walk around being him for a day, effectively, you get so much free stuff.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking you might get the old six pack as well, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And that free kick technique.
No,
it is just the mask. It's not the mask like Jim Carrey. You become.
Can I just say?
No, but I think I'd try and trick people.
Well,
I'm genuinely Clarence Seedorf.
A Clarence Seedorf mask would probably do that.
Exactly.
It would come with powers.
Because people would look at the resemblance and go, "No, I love Clarence Seedorf. Have some free things."
It's a testament to how much of a specimen Clarence Seedorf is that he's 8 years older than you and you want to be him. You want to look like him still.
I don't think I'd like get away with being a Clarence though. You'd be like oi Clarence, you'd be like, what, how dare you?
That'll take a bit of getting used to.
Clarence.
By the afternoon you'd be away. Pete,
I would go for Jonas Gutierrez, because then I could be in a film, Spider-Man.
Oh yeah.
I've not seen it for a while.
They'd have to be filming that day.
Yes.
So you go as Jonas Gutierrez, who's just scored a goal about 5 years ago.
I heard the word mask, to be quite frank, Jim. I was thinking of people with masks.
Pete, you should have stuck with your Jan Venegor and Hesselink. That's done quite well for you.
Do you think I'm repeating a fair bit? I don't recall.
The opening question for Pete is to send him into like an elaborate game of word association.
Yeah.
Like he's at a psychiatrist's couch.
So you show me a butterfly. Oh, my dad locking me in a cupboard.
Jonas Gutierrez is the final answer there.
Yours is going to be Sven anyway, so don't look down. Look down your nose at me.
It is now.
I'll go for Johan Gorkov.
Rob,
come on. Imagine being him for a day.
You'd feel very good about yourself.
Yeah, you would.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And I've got crippling self confidence issues, so I think it really helped me.
Nonsense.
You'd never know.
I'd go for John Terry. Jim's got the points.
The first ever opening question suicide.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't go for John Terry.
Weird hit and run suicide.
I'd go for probably Demetrio Albertini, I think.
Yeah.
As I do every week. Jim's definitely got the points. Clarence Seedorf mask.
Cheers,
all
Clarence.
Round, quite frankly. And you could maybe get on BBC Match of the Day.
Yeah.
And improve it
somewhat. I'd have a go.
You would literally improve it, that's the thing.
Thanks, mate.
But more on that later. Let's zoom off to the Premier League. We've got to go to Arsenal 5, Spurs 2. Where Arsenal got all 3 points after Emmanuel Adebayor scored and then was sent off. How much did it's an awkward one, isn't it, with that, with the sending off? Because,
well, they kept their heads, didn't they?
They did, and the game's still got to be won. But you've no idea how it would have panned out.
No, absolutely not. Mm. But I think that's a symptom of the North London derby anyway. You know, it's always really topsy turvy. It's never going to be a 1-0 in that game. The odds on it being 0-0 were 16-1, which is
almost like double what they normally are. Because the odds from 0-0 normally, or from what I've seen, about 8 or 9 to 1. So yeah, it's pretty high. Did anyone say Adebayor's not that type of player? Please tell me someone said that.
I don't think anyone has said that. Apparently, that's also the third time that Howard Webb has sent him off.
Right,
I believe.
But it was a straight. There's nothing you can do about it. Was it? He deserved to go.
The ball was off the ground, so maybe it wasn't like the worst red card I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, he obviously deserved.
And Gary Neville was a great bit of punditry, because Gary Neville was saying that he looks too pumped up.
Did you see him in the tunnel where he was trying to talk to his Arsenal ex-colleagues, and nobody was having any of it? He kept on going back and going, no, I'm here, and like people were just ignoring him.
Cess, come here.
With Nelson the dog.
It was embarrassing.
That has actually been something Arsenal have been criticised for recently. Being a bit too pally generally with people in the tunnel and stuff like that. Maybe they're listening. But as you say, it is impossible to know how it would have panned out, because Spurs really did look on top. They could have had another one with Aaron Lennon quite early on, but they just absolutely fell apart. As soon as Adebayor went off, they all seemed to accept they would lose. And
it was a strange one, and you can't take that away from Arsenal to suddenly go at them. And what a goal from Mertesacker as well. Yeah. It was quite pleasing to see the big man getting his
neck muscles.
I think Vyas Boris deserves a little bit of credit still for at least trying to do something in the second half. He could have just gone, right, damage limitation. But he actually flicked his free at the back and tried to actually squeeze the game a little bit.
Do you think he was a bit ambitious playing a 4-4-2 with Defoe and Adebayor?
I don't know really.
Because
Defoe's been very good this season. Adebayor's got a habit of scoring against his old clubs, and he did.
Because
he played for so many of them, yeah. So I think it was a reasonable gamble. It comes down to Adebayor getting sent off. He couldn't have expected that to happen. What he did say after the game, which was hilarious, was that Spurs controlled it from start to finish. So presumably his plan was always to concede 5.
It was more like, I can't imagine giving a team talk to those people in that kind of kit. Awful kit.
It's a weird
like
kit.
Really sort of like, I'd love to see the stats on their, their win ratio. It's
it
not
doesn't
great
look
season,
like a football kit.
It's a Monday night five-a-side football kit.
It is. It's a couple of different ideas thrown together to see if it works.
It doesn't
like
really
the Barcelona away kit that we've mentioned before.
But at least that's got colour in it.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
That's got the colour from Spurs kit, maybe. Because if anything, that one's got too much.
It's like a dystopian kind of Mickey Mouse cartoon video game where you've got to colour in everything, but that is before it gets coloured in.
It's exactly like that.
You're right, mate.
Epic Mickey 2 out in good stars.
I think that, by the way, it's obviously very difficult for Spurs, given that they're down to 10. Arsenal are an expansive team anyway. That pitch is quite big. It's the middle of the day. It's difficult for them, and I think that I still think
the middle of the day. You're dropping in excuses.
Well, the humidity.
It's Saturday. They've probably only just got up.
Yeah, exactly. There's lots of things you've got to look at.
Probably been out on the piss the night before.
I'm not even the Spurs fan. I don't know why I said that.
Talking of such games, you went to see a game in the combined counties.
I only saw the first 20 minutes of the North London derby because I was off to see South Kilburn versus Westfield in the combined counties Division 1.
There's a North Kilburn?
Yeah, I've not seen that. I don't know what they're like.
You didn't realise there was a divide. Strides confidently through the postcodes.
10th tier non-league football. Yeah, grassroots.
No, that's not grassroots. That's a bit...
That's big time, isn't it?
No, but it's there is a level of amateur there.
It was good. It was really interesting. They had a big man up front, South Kilburn. I'm going to stick my neck out and say it's called. He was 6'8". I looked him up on the website the next day, and his name was Melford Simpson.
Oh,
that's a good name.
Nice. If he's listening, he's going to love that.
What was the score?
He terrorised them. South Kilburn emerged 1-0 victors, but Westfield deserve a special nod because I think they lined up in a 3-4-3, which is pretty good. Well, they got beat, but it's pretty interesting to see.
Good was pitch. How was the pitch?
Oh, the pitch was one of the worst pitches I've ever seen.
Was there some good stereotyping with the chanting and all that kind of stuff?
No, because there was about 20 people there.
Did anyone shout "Get it in the mixer"?
Sorry, what were we talking about? Chanting shouts from the players.
Oh yeah, lots of that. Yeah, that's when Westfield conceded. I think it was their assistant coach. No, he said. So I don't know why I'd give them just considered the goal, but I promise you shattered this. That's what we do, Westfield, isn't it? We dig deep. We dig deep. Which is good.
Deep we dig.
The notes I had from the game, because I knew we might talk about it on the show, the only note I can make out is the ball spent a lot of time in the air and there was about 10 tackles a minute. One thing I would say is, though,
good.
It really hit home for me because the pitch was really bad, like one of the worst I've seen. And this kid came on at half time, he's only about 18, 19, and he was an absolute wizard of a dribble. I couldn't believe how he could dribble so well on that pitch. And it makes me think of why sometimes players at professional level use a bit as a bit of an excuse, how the pitch cut up a bit. Compared to that, it was nothing. That pitch was like a Pringle.
Yeah,
it was all over the place.
Dear.
But it was a good game anyway, 1-0 to South Kilburn. They got top of the league,
just the one goal, not like the North London derby. So yeah, a good win for Arsenal against Spurs, and a good win for, was it South Kilburn?
South Kilburn,
yeah. Great stuff.
So often the two go hand in hand.
Yeah, they do, yeah. Both North London sides. Let's get out of London and go to Norwich, where they had a fantastic win against Manchester United, 1-0. And what a header it was to win the match.
Anthony Pilkington.
Yeah.
They've got a satisfying amount of kind of old school names at Norwich, like Anthony Pilkington, Robert Snodgrass.
Snodgrass is excellent.
He's Scottish, isn't he?
I really like Wes Houlihan. I think he's an excellent.
Wes Houlihan, another one.
Grant Holt.
Yeah.
Remember?
Man United were poor.
They were poor, weren't they?
Yeah.
Air shots from Van Persie. He's good for that. I mean, he's absolutely lethal, but you will get an air shot from him here.
Can I just put a question to the floor, which may be a bit harsh?
Go on.
Do Man United, with Van Persie, remind you of how Milan were with Zlatan? Every so often the game gets a bit away from them and they need them to bail them out.
Just get it
and,
to
and,
him.
And they keep United keep relying on Van Persie to get them out of trouble. They go behind a lot, they've gone behind a lot this season, and Van Persie couldn't bail them out this time, and there was nothing like the intensity you're used to seeing.
Isn't that their kind of focus anyway, though? Just get it to Van Persie.
But that's fallible, isn't it?
Yeah. And I thought the goalkeeping was particularly good in this match.
Oh yeah, he was superb. Absolutely world class save from Ruddy at one point.
But that's the thing about Manchester United. I think that because Ferguson's still there, it'll be so interesting, of course, when Ferguson leaves, for obvious reasons. But Ferguson being on that touchline, I think his presence alone scares the life out of the opposition. And the whole aura around Manchester United, which Ferguson has built up, if you look at that Man United side, it's not a particularly great team, is it?
No.
I mean, it's not that surprising that Norwich beat them. You know, Chelsea on paper, Man City on paper, are better than United.
Would you be happy with Giggs, if you were a Man United fan, with Giggs and Carrick in the middle?
Well, this is what I mean. But that's there for the taking.
Carrick,
I mean, they're decent players, of course.
Weirdly, Carrick has got something like, he's in the top 10 for completed passes in Europe.
Yeah, I think he's in the top 5. He uses the ball very well, but he's not the most mobile of him.
But I'm saying, if you're going to take a traditional English approach, you'd get at them.
Well, it worked for Tottenham at Old Trafford, as we said.
Exactly.
And Norwich have been defending brilliantly at home. Hughton's starting to put a bit of a stamp on his team now and actually getting them stuck they beat Arsenal as well.
They need to show a little bit more teeth. They've had no penalties all this season. I think the last penalty was the back end of last season and stuff, and I think they got one in the League Cup and stuff, and he's been sort of saying that we need to get a little bit more nasty, so to speak. But it kind of speaks volumes about Chris Hughton as a man. He's kind of a bit nice, you know.
Yeah, I know
he needs a little bit more teeth, I think.
They're on a bit of a run, though, Norwich. I'm telling you now, though, the South Kilburn midfield would have got right at them.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, right amongst it.
But Man United have struggled at Norwich. I mean, last season it was only a last minute Giggs goal that got them out of trouble there. So
remember Dean Ashton scoring for Norwich to beat Man United as well at Carrow Road.
No, right.
What a lost hand.
Absolutely.
Good player.
What a shame. Well, as I said, it will be interesting when Ferguson leaves Manchester United, of course.
Have you heard some news that we haven't?
Yeah,
actually happened.
Yeah, very prevalent in the.
No, when he does leave, I'm saying.
Oh, okay. You're
right. Yeah, it will. But why? Why are you bringing this up now?
Well, because Eric Cantona.
All right. I see.
Has said he would like to manage Manchester United one day.
It's not all he said, is it?
It's not all he said, and I'm going to tell you exactly what he said, whether this is what he said or not. He's of course currently the director of football at the New York Cosmos.
I don't think he does much.
Easy money. Easy money. but he did say this. I would say United is special. Of course I would do it. Today I'm with the New York Cosmos.
No one's even asked him.
But he's got a lot of time to talk.
Not a response to a question. A
lot of time to talk. Today I'm with the New York Cosmos, but if one day there is an opportunity, why not? Like diving from here to the sea, watching, speaking to the fish, octopus, crabs, journalists. I love to watch United winning things, and I want Ferguson to be manager forever. Has he forgot what he was talking about at the start?
It's confused. Yeah, it's
like I want to manage them, and I want Ferguson to be manager forever.
I thought
forever.
He was going to start singing Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid at one point.
It's good to know he hasn't changed.
Sort of become a parody of himself, though, in a way, it seems. And also, is he just forgotten English? Is he just just sort of guessing at sentences and just throwing them together.
He is not the answer.
No.
Whatever the main question is, he is not the answer.
What did he like, retire at like 29-31, just went, yeah, I'm not doing football anymore. Yeah. Hasn't managed anyone.
I'll tell you what though, if he was manager, it wouldn't have been 1-0.
For about 5 years after he retired, he wouldn't answer any questions about football. Now you can't shut the fucker up.
Maybe he was rehearsing for a new play or something. Just in the middle of his statement.
Well, he broke down that fourth wall, didn't he?
I can just imagine him saying that in the response to nothing, and the bloke in the room going, "Shall I get a pen? Do you want me to get this down? Is this going out there? Is it?
Oh, the window is open.
Yeah,
fucking out there, all right.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Right. Another amazing result on the weekend was West Bromwich Albion 2, Chelsea 1.
Champions League place.
Steve
West
Clark.
Brom.
Yeah. Steve Clark. What a win! What a win!
Great win. The thing I love about West Brom at the moment as well is, you know, obviously they went 1-0 up against Chelsea, and then when Chelsea pegged them back, they never ever looked like, oh, this is our chance gone now. So many of the sort of, you know, supposed lesser sides in the Premier League do, when one of the big boys gets back into the game, they're just stuck at it.
Shop at the back, don't they? They go, oh, yeah. God, well, if we keep it at 1-0, we'll get, you know,
a point. So yeah,
but no, they absolutely always looked like they knew they could score again, and it was brilliant.
And Shane Long is great.
Yeah, with Shane Long, I think James Morrison deserves a lot of credit. Yeah. So there's a lot of players really putting a shift in there.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a lot of energy, Morrison. I like him.
And Malumbu's an absolute tank as well, that allows other players to sort of. Yeah. You know.
And Odemwingie, of course.
Yeah.
He's a great player. But he's proved that many times.
Chelsea
before.
Rotated a few players out, didn't they? They had Bertrand in as Puliqueta playing fullback.
Yes. Mm.
And you often wonder, with those three behind Torres, how much cover are those fullbacks getting?
Yeah.
From those players. You're not going to. I mean, you look at the lineup they can choose from. They've got Oscar, Hazard, Moses, Sturridge, and Mata. Mm. I mean, how many of those sort of rotating three are going to get back and help their fullback?
That's why Ramirez is important for them as well, as he's absolutely mopping up for the rest of those players when he's in there.
Mikel when he's in there as well.
Yeah.
What did you think of Sturridge? I mean, he makes all the right noises, Sturridge. He says, I'll be a 20 goal season man, play me up the middle. He's often going on and on about it. He had a number of chances, and okay, he was in the positions.
But he didn't play up front because Torres played up there, didn't he?
True, but what I'm saying is, for a guy who so desperately wants to be the goal threat, to miss a hatful of good chances like that, it's not good for him.
Torres did a few last season, to be fair though.
Well, Torres has been doing it. I mean, he's performing in fits and starts, Torres, but he's been doing it. The thing with Sturridge is, I'll defend Sturridge because I think he's a good player and I like him. The chances he missed against West Brom were symptomatic of a player who doesn't play very often.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to, and it's a funny bind that managers and football teams are in, because they need to. I mean, Di Matteo needs to win games, no question about that. Mm. So
Without a win now for them.
Exactly, but he can't give Sturridge four or five games to get his eye in. No. He's got to perform straight away. It's impossibly hard for him.
The Sturridge that you get here at Chelsea is not even the Sturridge you saw at Bolton. He has never had a run of games in his career like he had at Bolton. Yeah. You know,
and he
was excellent there. He was free scoring because he had that run of games together.
He'll have to leave then, surely.
Well, yeah, that might be the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you wonder if Chelsea will make a decision on Torres as well, because he's not. He doesn't seem reliable yet, does he?
Mate, he didn't even look like he wanted to be there against West Brom. That's the worry. His confidence is through the floor.
Well, Chelsea, another side who linked with Falcao, of course, we talked about.
Well, they're talking.
Sturridge
might as well take his boots and go. Because realistically, for the big games, Sturridge isn't going to start in those three behind Torres anyway. It's impossible for him to see a constant place in the side, given the players they strengthened with in the summer, given the talent they've got at their disposal. He's not going to get a run. But the only way he can get a run is if someone drops Torres and he plays right up front.
All he can do is just keep his head down, though. Start just, you know, playing well in training,
and
scoring goals when he gets a chance. And he didn't do that against West Brom. He didn't take his chance.
But he's one of those players that, you know, for fact, he's sort of reaching a level in his career where he's playing for Chelsea. Is he going to want to go back down to, you know,
depends what his priorities are, though, Pete, isn't it?
Well, exactly, yeah. But you know what?
It would be a hard decision to make. You can see why players spend maybe a couple of seasons too long trying to break into a team, because you wouldn't want to give up on it that quickly.
Because they back themselves as well.
Yeah, and Adam Johnson as well said when he left City in the summer to go to Sunderland, he was talking about, you know, I've won a league title, I can always look back on that in my career, as if he'd accepted he'd never hit those heights again, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
I think Johnson's good enough to play for a top side again. He could get there again.
That ball through to Fletcher at the week yesterday was absolutely superb.
Yeah, great finish as well.
Yeah,
indeed, it was a great result for Sunderland away to Fulham, and it was a great result for Swansea away to Newcastle. It was interesting. We talked a little bit about Swansea saying, "Oh, you know, is Loudrup going to get them going? One thing or another." And we've also talked about Fulham and how well they've done. They're both on the same points.
Newcastle have got a lot of injuries, haven't they? A lot of players out at the moment.
Newcastle just keep on playing the long ball all the time, and it's just weird. Like they think Andy Carroll's still there. It's perverse.
Your players you got out though: Obertan, Gutierrez, Ryan Taylor, Kabaye, Perch, Gosling and Vukic.
But players like, but players like Gosling, well. Aubertin and Taylor are hardly. I'd say the big ones would be, you know, anybody in central defence, and I think that's what needs to be strengthened in January.
And Cabaye.
Exactly. He's like the main one. Tiota's just come back and stuff. But
is that not two defeats at home in a row now?
It's 1 in 10 wins. We've only had 1 in 10 wins in the league.
Right. Okay.
And we just keep on. You know, we've got another Europa League match this week. It'll be another case at the weekend, sort of going, oh, well, you know, it's a Europa League hangover and stuff. But you can't keep saying that because it's a long old competition.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
And Newcastle just don't have the squad for it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Talk about QPR.
We're just going to mention Reading 2, Everton 1. A great result for Reading.
Reading's
first
win.
Exactly. And Everton, dear. So much at the start, and
they've only lost that one. Come on,
no, they've lost twice.
But I mean, they've been playing so well all this season. They've lost the league today.
Of course. But it's just we were talking about them with sloppy results, and it would be great to see Everton up there. And
I think Everton's problems are all kind of easily solved, and I think they'll come back.
We'll
strong.
Make a call, Jim, and
they're going to win the league.
Yeah.
They need a decent striker. He's probably the only one they've got.
Anichebe's started well. He's injured now.
Depth in that position. Anichebe's story of his career. He can't stay fit.
They need to do some business in January. I think.
Right, Queen's Park Rangers. They're not getting away with
it. Off you go, Luke.
Utter shit.
They were indeed. A friend of mine went to the game and he said it was really was depressing. I mean, he said the home fans gave their own team so much abuse. They were cheering when Bisinga came off, when he was subbed off and all the rest of it. He said it was like nothing he'd ever seen before because he normally goes to watch Arsenal.
Well, from what I saw, you know, the first goal they conceded against Southampton at the weekend was the worst passage of Premier League play I've seen. I can never remember. I counted from the corner. QPR had 8 chances to clear the ball. The ball from when the corner come over, there was 8 phases of play where they didn't clear the ball. They couldn't get near the ball. They couldn't hook it away properly. They couldn't make a challenge. And it was one of those things that if you keep doing that, it's like a pinball machine. Eventually, the pinball's going to go down the fucking hole. You've got to get rid of it. And they were nowhere near it. The second goal when Punchin let the ball roll across his body.
Lovely finish.
Great
Punchin.
Finish.
Oh, yeah.
But, mate, the two set of actually 15 yards apart. And the whole goal to Ava.
You could just imagine.
Well, he actually curled it into the bottom corner because he had so much. So it was like a golf chip.
You could just imagine Adkins, you know, saying, right, we're away from home, we're coming up to London, we need to get a result here, we've got a chance, da 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 da, and the game starts, and suddenly QPR go to pot, and he's going, right, we're on, come on, they're letting us have this, and let's take it, thanks very much, and then we're off, because it was so piss poor from QPR. I mean, there's a home game against Southampton, they haven't won a game all season, they've got to be looking at that, thinking, that at least one bloody point.
Well, it's interesting that the pressure has been mounting on QPR, game after game, and they're just not responding to it. But the players seem almost unaware of it, just like they're coasting through their careers.
Do you not think it's a case that QPR have got all these big names who have won championships a few years ago, or scored goals a few years ago, who in that side do you look at and they really give a damn? I mean, does Cisse care that much? Zamora doesn't seem to want to play football anymore. Bisinga,
well, he is injured for the rest of the season probably.
They were talking about Zamora before, that he just really wasn't interested as well.
But the problem with QPR, and I said this before, in my view, is they don't know what team they are. The team they knew what they were when they brought Hughes in last year, they knew they had to stay up, backs to the wall. He's got all these new players coming in, a massive amount of players, and they don't know what they want to do. And the situation is, the reality of the situation is, they go to Old Trafford next week and they're going to get beat.
And if
Hughes is still in this job at the end of the month, it'll be the biggest surprise for the last.
The supporters, they've got to get something like 1.3 points for every remaining match in the Premier League, and that's relegation for me.
That's ridiculous.
Because they don't look like. I can't see where they're getting the next point.
Well, I mean, weirdly, they are now, because, you know, the situation is as dire as that. They should know what team they are again. They're a team in an absolute scrap for their lives, but they don't look like they've got the players that are up for that.
But exactly, who are you going to bring on? Well, Sean Wright Phillips, Kieran Dyer.
Yeah,
you know, these are all people.
It's bench warmers.
But it's like the chairman or whoever makes the signings. I've heard of him. He was good a few years ago, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's get him.
The sticker album from 2005.
Exactly. That's what's going on there.
Yeah. And you know that Southampton, I mean, you know, credit to them, because it's an away win and it's a great 3 points for them. But you can see how fallible Southampton are at the back. You know, Junior Horlett scored a header from a really speculative ball in, and then at that point when it was 2-1 or whatever it was, you think, go on, kick on from there. Then the concentration for the third goal they conceded, short corner, took them about 3 or 4 seconds to react. There's no excuse for that. The manager, and I understand the players take responsibility as much as the manager does, but if you're in a position where you're in a home game against a fellow, and that's early days, but against a fellow relegation threatened side, and you're not even concentrating to set pieces, you're not even stepping up and closing the ball down when they take a short corner and letting them come into the area, it's embarrassing. At that level, it's embarrassing. There's absolutely no excuse for
it. And when a player like Tarat is one of the few who look as though he is trying to roll up his sleeves and get stuck in, you think, bloody hell, what are the rest of them playing?
And the thing with Tarat is he's just not fit enough. He doesn't take his training seriously.
No, of course not.
The stories of under Warnock is, you know, that he used to say to Tarat on Tuesday afternoon, see you on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he'd just be too disruptive. So is he really a player you can rely on for 90 minutes every week? Of course he isn't.
But what about Mark Hughes, though? I mean, Hughes, you know, famed for organising teams. Well, famed is too strong
a word.
He's
having a good second season, and he hasn't had one.
Not at all. I mean
this is really bad for Hughes, like, in terms of his career. Where does he go after this? This could finish him off. It's that bad.
You need to go and rebuild away somewhere. You have to take time to rebuild his career, because all these players that have come in, he's not bonded them. He's not got them anywhere near sort of playing for each other or working hard or any of this other stuff. Cissé was great when he came in. At the start of his QPR career, and he's got what, one or two goals now?
Come and save us, Harry.
There's no harmony at QPR, and that's not from between the fans, the players, the manager, and the board. It's just discordant everywhere.
And to be honest, it wouldn't be surprising if Hughes was shown the door very soon, because, as you say, there looks like there's nothing in that cycle of nonsense that's going on that's going to change any of that.
No.
And you need... It would probably take someone like Redknapp.
Old Trafford next weekend. Don't get any easier.
Yeah.
No.
One-nil win, guaranteed. Man, you're playing well, so...
50-1 on the 0-0.
Put it in perspective, though. They go in Saturday into the game at Huddersfield, at the back of their mind, knowing they go to Old Trafford next week, and they don't get a win. They don't get any points. What sort of confidence is going to be like at the club? You know, it's crazy.
Absolutely. Zero.
Oh,
zero.
Before you go away from the Premier League, I've got a Michael Owen hamstring update.
Okay.
Yeah, they're fucked.
Right.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to it.
See, didn't they tell him to like sit up straight or something? They said just sit up straight and your hamstrings will be loads better. Remember he had to buy a new car back in the day because his hamstrings were being too stretched.
It is a shame that he was pushed so hard at such a young age. It's come back to help.
He's hamstring prone.
He really is. Yes.
Hasn't he got four of them?
Isn't there some weird thing he can't even have ham in a sandwich.
No,
makes him remind.
It's a shame.
He can't even have silly string.
No. Do you still get that?
I don't know. Right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go crazy. We're going to zoom all the way over to Serie A.
What?
Everyone in La Liga won, so don't worry about that.
Apart from Bilbao.
Business as usual in La Liga. In Serie A, Milan came back from 2-0 down away to Napoli, which is not a bad point considering, although they've probably been disappointed to be 2-0 down.
Yeah, did you see the circumstances of them being 2-0 down?
Yeah.
Adiati had an absolute mare on both of them.
But that man, El Shaarawy, who we've talked about a lot this season, who is very much stepping up, got both goals and Milan came away with a point. Milan president, an all-round good egg, Silvio Berlusconi, last Friday flew in by helicopter to give the players a little pep talk.
How is he allowed a helicopter? The amount of trouble that man's in. He could go anywhere.
Well, he couldn't drive around the place, could he? stones would reach his car. apparently this pep talk lasted about 10 minutes, after which he hugged El Shaarawy and then shook hands with the players and the manager. I don't know why he got a hug.
But I don't understand, because presumably he went to the team to talk a bit about how it's a time for austerity because they need the money and they couldn't turn down these offers and the money was coming in from all these players.
Yeah.
But he turned up in a helicopter. Yeah. It's like, austerity begins at home, mate. Get the bus.
Well, it's almost certainly his personal helicopter.
No, he's probably
different.
Paid for the rent the whole year.
I watched Italy 1 France 2 midweek on
El Shaarawy scored, didn't
he?
He dedicated that goal to Berlusconi.
The coverage of Rai Uno was some of the strangest things I've ever seen. They cut to about 5 post-match interviews and they were bringing out player after player, and towards the end of the programme El Shaarawy came out and so they sat him on a stool and they said, "All right, we'll talk to El Shaarawy after the break." And they went to a break and the programme just finished. He went to like another programme. I was like, is he still sat there? But obviously he made it back to Naples for the Milan game.
Yeah, well, that's true. Berlusconi also commented in the press about Milan's big sales over the summer, stating, we saved 130 million euros with the sales and nobody during this economic climate would have turned that down. You see real fans in times of difficulty. I expect the team to be supported. After 26 years of caviar and champagne, patience is needed.
He said, quaffing caviar and champagne. Yeah.
Smoking, yeah, well, to be fair though, smoking
just,
money.
Just, yeah. Just because he's a hypocrite doesn't mean he's wrong. You know, that is the case at Milan. They're in horrific debt, you know.
Mm. When I wrote that down, I didn't think someone would side with Berlusconi.
I'm not siding with Berlusconi.
No, I understand what you're saying, actually. Mm. So,
Robinho's still at Milan and played an amazing through ball for
Oh, he
sure.
did, didn't yeah. he?
Because so many players have left, you sort of forget that Robinho's still there.
Well, I think that's...
Robinho's one of those players where you just forget him, generally, you know, because he's such a sort of... He's sort of that archetypal player from the City era of like, oh god, really expensive player. Hey, he's all right, isn't he? Just sort of like an almost made up player. You know what I mean? Yeah,
but it's such a shame because he was excellent for a season or two or whatever it was at Real Madrid. Like really
he's
good.
He's got about 90 Brazil caps.
Yeah.
Well, he was captain for a while.
There you go.
In Milan, he's like he missed the bus. Like he was sort of asleep or dozing off, looking out the window, and they said, "Where's everyone gone? I should be out the door. I'm like a big name."
But he can't finish his dinner, you know. But he linked well with Zlatan often. As you know, anybody with.
But when he played, I think Robinho is most effective when he's a little bit deeper.
Yeah, of course he is. Yeah. Which is why, when he gets in the final third, get rid of it. Yeah. Because if he's shooting or trying to, you know, it's not going in. It's not going in, Pete. Simple as that. Juventus drew 0-0 with Lazio at home, dropping points, the old lady. Mm. But they didn't lose, so they're back up to, what, two games unbeaten now? Yeah. It must be
baby
so
steps,
gutting.
Baby yeah. steps.
It must be so gutting, wasn't it?
It's almost as gutting as when Arsenal had those T-shirts and they got beat by United.
Well, I didn't see
so
that.
So we are going
to
win.
They had 49 games unbeaten and they had their T-shirts saying 59 out, didn't they?
Oh, right, beaten, God.
Yeah. They had all had them underneath their shirts, which made it worse. It's all or nothing, really, because if you win it, it's brilliant.
That's true. Juve man Nicholas Bentner said he's open to a move back to London.
That's fine though, Max. He's on loan, so that's what we announced a few weeks ago.
Exactly. Is that right? Yeah. Okay.
The week where everyone got something wrong, and I don't think I did.
Yeah, but he didn't say which North London club, Pete. Because he still is technically an Arsenal player, but he said, history is filled with examples of players moving between rival clubs, and I can't rule out other clubs due to where I might have been in the past.
I think Wenger's been on the phone to him going, go on, rub it in. Say that you want to play for Spurs.
I think I heard every single London club at the same time just go, no.
Mark Hughes. Well, I don't know. Might just be the man to save
me. Big Sam just went,
But even Wenger's probably going, no, we sold him, didn't we? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to sell him again. It was so hard.
Get me Pat Rice on the phone. I need to check some paperwork.
South Kilburn are interested.
They've got Melford.
Is that right? No, that's true.
Don't need him.
He did go on to say, it might not be the best idea, but if the project matches my ambitions, I would have to be interested.
He's Pep Guardiola, isn't he?
Just score some goals and stay where you are for a bit.
Go to China and make an absolute hatful.
Called his Paddy Power pants up and went, remember these?
Try.
Yeah, that's all you need.
That's all you need. Yeah. You can distill it into one word.
And Juve are also weighing up the idea of trying to bring Didier Drogba in on loan as the Chinese season has finished and Drogba is wanting to stay fit for the African
and
Cup Nations.
Just went, oh, for fuck's
that's why. He's like, I'll go to Spurs.
I don't believe that.
Queen's Park Rangers will definitely have him.
Yeah. Imagine him turning up the train and drop with it. What are you doing here?
Oh dear. Inter drop points at home as well to Cagliari.
An incredible miss from Diego Milito in that
amazing.
Game.
Amazing.
Well.
2 yards really, out max.
I don't like to see that from
Sandra Redknapp genuinely could have finished it sort of.
Where did he go? Over the top or to the side?
Over the top. Over top.
Lovely,
big
lovely.
Time, yeah. great goal from Cagliari where the Inter goalkeeper Handanovic ran out to try and close because someone had a shot and it came off the post and came back into the air.
It was a bit of a goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Handanovic legged it out to try and close him down, fell over his own defender. The guy just buried it.
Lovely,
it's a lot of clownish goalkeeping in Serie A. Weekend.
Inter president Massimo Moratti was furious with the referee after Inter had denied a big penalty claim and he stopped in his car Redknapp style outside the ground just before driving away saying, I cannot stay quiet in these circumstances. That penalty was as big as a house. So good. I don't think there's any plot against us. It's just that referees are incapable of doing their jobs.
That's a fine. Kalia just turns up. That's a fine.
I like that idea of me just going, I cannot stay quiet in these circumstances.
I am not moving until we get a penalty. We'll do it here in the car park.
Yeah. I love that. I can't stay this quiet. It's not a press conference. He's driving away. I can't.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of implies that he'd be saying that anyway, even if no one was around.
Oh, I imagine he would be, yeah. What about the Battle of the Two
Hands? He says it every week. And they've just cottoned on. Right, let's get around here. Bring the mics.
What about the Battle of the Two Antonios?
Conte and Cassano.
Yeah.
Ooh.
AC.
No one's coming out here any at all. AC squared.
There's a little more of words, isn't there, in the press. Because Conte was asked last week why Juve didn't bid for Cassano, and he said that Cassano's all talk and he's not the kind of player that Juve want. And Cassano heard this and he was saying, well, Conte said I'm all talk. I'm not the one who's suspended for failing to report match fixing. I've done many...
Surely that backs up Conte's thing. Yeah. He doesn't talk. Yeah. Well, there's no talk.
I suppose so.
To his detriment.
He said, "If I have done many silly things in my career for which I have been banned. However, if Conte starts talking to me about morality, then it's the end of the world." There is no hint of a half measure in Italy. Is it's absolutely glorious.
Yeah.
And then Conte said, "Well, first of all, I never use the term morality, despite the fact I have it in spades." When asked about how I choose players for Juventus, I said, "We look at the man," by which I meant how he interprets the role of footballer in a professional manner, and went on to list another few things. And he said, "Mr. Cassano has already shown many times over his career, both on and off the field, such as his impressions of Fabio Capello at Real Madrid and insulting gestures at the referees and other incidents, that he does not have the required characteristics I am looking for."
It's like two keyboard warriors slogging it out on an internet forum, isn't it?
There's got to be some sort of journalist go-between in this. Just running back and forth. Yeah. Oh, he called you a wanker. Taunting the big kid at school.
Oh, super. I think that's all for Serie A.
What about Fiorentina? A little word for them?
A little word for them. Aquilani got two goals. Remember him? And Luca Toni scored a header. Who would have thought?
They've got five in a row, Fiorentina, don't
they? Yeah, they do. They are doing
well. I don't think Jovetic is back yet either. Is Luca Toni like 50 now?
He'd be 35. Yeah, I think about 35.
Yeah,
and they've got obviously Big Montoya at the helm.
That's right.
Yeah, he's done a good job.
Another man who liked a header. Right, to the Bundesliga we go, and immediately we see that Bayern Munich have dropped points away to Nuremberg. It's only for the second time this season, but they're still 8 points out in front, so don't you worry about that.
Mandzukic scored again, didn't he? It's been an absolutely amazing signing for them. Straight away. I think it's 9 goals in the league now for them.
He's in excellent form. He really is. Yeah.
The big disappointment of the Bundesliga weekend for me is Sidney Sam never scored for Bayer Leverkusen.
Sidney Sam.
Eintracht Frankfurt won again.
They did win again. They 4-2, and they're still up there. They're in third. I mean, they are a good few points, as I said, behind Bayern Munich. But
still.
But newly promoted side, aren't they?
Yeah.
Still right up there in third, on the same points as second place Schalke and one above fourth place Dortmund. But there's some other news coming out of Germany, ladies and gentlemen. Munich 1860, who are currently playing in Germany's second tier, being strongly linked with Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't Sven...
Are you doing these links yourself now, just so you can talk about Sven?
Are you seeding these stories?
The last I heard about Sven, and this is some news for Pete, and you might be aware of it, Pete, he applied for the Hartlepool job and they said no.
Yeah. along with Phil Brown got, quite close to the actual managerial position, but also a Sabutio manager from Essex as well. Judge a man by the company he keeps, I tell you.
Wow.
Sven and Phil Brown. Ugh.
And Sabutio.
But can you imagine Sven getting Tor Griff on the phone, just going, right, I've had enough of this. Just get me Hartlepool, all right? And then Tor Grip coming back to him going, they don't want you. Are you taking the piss? Hartlepool don't want me.
There's so many lovely battles. There's Nexus, there's the showrooms, there's now Little Black Book, which is a strip club, Hartlepool's first strip club.
He loves that.
He loves that.
Yeah.
That's why they opened it. They thought he was coming.
and he's piped up for the Scotland job as well.
Well, I don't know if he linked himself or what, but his name was linked to the Scotland job, Jim. I was like a dog with 14 dicks when I heard that.
Big Alan Ruff stick in the booty, wasn't he?
Alan Ruff, former Scottish keeper Alan Ruff. He's not having any of it. He said, "Sven seems the kind of guy who puts his name forward for every job going." Correct, Alan.
What's your problem?
We shouldn't go down that road. Anyway,
that golden road.
That bald, smooth road. Anyway, he hasn't set the world on fire at his previous clubs. I would be relieved to see the SFA look to a Scotsman and not a guy who can't get the Hartlepool job.
Sticking the boot into your own sample.
Outrageous.
Yeah, I love Alan Ruff. He's he was the goalkeeper for Scotland in the World Cup 78,
yeah,
the famous Archie Gemmell game. But one of my favourite ever pieces of the commentary, I think, is when he played for Hibs. He's a bit of a Hibs legend, wasn't he, Alan?
Right.
And it's a Scottish Cup semi-final.
A great name, Alan.
Way back in the day, and I think Hibs famously knocked out Rangers.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the game, Ruff brings the ball out from goal, obviously, and does a little dummy past the striker.
Does he?
And the commentator goes, "Here's Alan Ruff. Oh, look at Ruffy!" When he goes past the striker, it's amazing. He absolutely loves it.
She don't eat meat, but she sure likes the bone. Exactly. Ruff, Ruff, Alan Ruff.
Superb. Top right. Man. Let's go to the league. Where Lyon are top. Yeah, I turned me back for 2 minutes. I thought PSG and Marseille were the teams, but yeah, it's Lyon.
It's nice to see Lyon doing well again, isn't it? I was worried for Lyon because they were linked with a move for Morten Gamst Pedersen in the summer. No.
Right. Okay, I see what you mean. Well, it's good to see him. Gorkus there pulling the strings.
Yep, handsome, good, nice.
Oh yes, they're a point above second place Bordeaux and two in front of PSG with the game in hand on both sides. PSG lost 2-1 at home to Rennes, and Marseille lost 1-0 to Bordeaux away.
And Villa played for Rennes as well. Back in the frame.
Yeah.
Did he look sheepish? As he did awful. So I hope he did.
He never looked sheepish. He looks like he'd be in Craig David's R&B troupe.
Do you think?
Yeah. But he's a bad man. Old Em Villa.
I see. And champions Montpellier down in 14th, just 2 points above the relegation zone.
Yeah.
It's funny that, because I mean I'm probably showing my lack of French knowledge here, but I think they've only lost Giroud, haven't they? They haven't lost loads of players.
I don't think so.
Don't know what's happening.
Giroud did weigh in with a lot of goals for them, but I mean there's so much pressure on them as well, because it's really unprecedented, you know, them winning the league like that. So maybe it's just complete collapse in the second season, you know, as champions. It's so much. It's like if Wigan were champs now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's an odd one, isn't it? Well, Blackburn Rovers were.
Have you guys been on YouTube recently, speaking of Ligue 1?
What's YouTube?
A terrible bit of Joey Barton autocue reading. Oh,
what, for out in the...
Out there, he's sort of going, come and get on this website and speak to me if you want, either in English or La Francaise.
It's called Twitter. Oh dear.
But yeah, you can't read the autocue for Nout. Oh. Not like those bloody pros, I tell you.
No. You're right. Right, let's go to international football from last week, where Sweden beat England 4-2, and according to Jamie Redknapp, the world woke up to the mighty Zlatan.
Yeah.
31.
We've covered this, haven't we? Do we even need to...
No, I don't think so. It was more for the comment somebody put on Twitter where they said, guys, why are you getting so annoyed? Have you just woken up to Jamie Redknapp? I thought it was quite nice.
Poor old Jamie, he looked excited by it. I don't begrudge him that.
No, I know.
But I just like the fact that the Pushcast Awards was like about to be, like, all the nominations came out and he's like, right, I'm having a bit of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Boof.
Oh, what a fourth.
One thing is worth saying, it's an amazing way to mark the opening of your national stage.
Yeah, indeed.
I think England under 21's lost to Italy under 21.
No, 3-0.
Oh, was it 3-0, at Wembley, yeah. Not one for the annals, that, is it?
No, exactly.
Some people are genuinely saying it's the best goal ever, though, which is ludicrous.
Top three.
but there's a lot more people sort of going, oh, it's hitting hope. Every goal's hitting hope, you dick.
Yeah, of course it. What, you hope it doesn't go in.
Yeah. There's absolutely no way he didn't mean to score there. Yeah. Otherwise, what else is he doing?
The Swedish coach, Hamren, is it Hamren? Hamren? He said that it was like somebody in a video game. I'd love to see what button that is, because I'm not impressed.
Yeah. I'd love that he landed on his front. Just in time to watch it sail in. Brilliant.
Yeah, that's what I had planned.
Just having a little lie down.
Saw Brawling do this in an advert once. So,
so now he's selling vacuum cleaners,
yeah,
isn't he?
Brawling was at one point, yeah.
Where else in the international football? FIFA to investigate new allegations over Qatar 2022 World Cup bid. Yeah, that'll happen. And they're also pushing for futsal to become an Olympic sport.
Oh, I saw the Futsal World Cup final this weekend. Yeah,
was that in Thailand, Kilburn as well?
No, it was in Thailand.
No, it wasn't. No,
it was Sven there? It was in Thailand.
I didn't see Sven. Big Sepp was there though. Big Sepp was in the crowd.
No, Sven was in Munich, of course. What we're talking about, exactly. for the 1860 game.
I was flicking between Leeds, Millwall. Millwall Leeds, and the Futsal World Cup final between Brazil and Spain. Yeah, it was a brilliant game. Brazil got it to 2-2 and they went to extra time, and then they sealed it.
A lot of skills.
Yeah, Falcao, not that Falcao, obviously. I think I'm right in saying he's like the legend of the futsal side.
Yeah, he's one of them.
He's about 35, He's got 340 goals and 221 internationals.
Yeah.
He's an incredible specimen. It was magnificent. It really was. And I think that the most depressing thing is when you watch it, you can't help but yourself think, yeah, England are probably shit at this.
Yeah, but we've barely ever played it.
That's right.
Hey, look, I'd like to see Falcao do it on a wet, windy night in Stoke, but inside, because that's where it's played.
Yeah, it's played inside. It's fine.
That's right. With one of those indoor footballs, not the small ones they have. You know, the furry ones that you used to play?
Oh, yeah.
Remember them?
Ones that get in the face are a real stinger.
Yeah, you couldn't do it with that.
Before you go on to Pete's game, special mention, little mensch for Carlos Puyol. Training with Barcelona in Moscow this week. Mm-hmm. -6, shorts and t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone else snooted, gloves. Nah.
Caveman.
Yeah, didn't need it.
Not CP.
Yeah, he's loving it.
Lovely. Before we got Pete's game as well, the Corinthians match at the weekend. A one-legged pitch invader.
What's that?
Didn't even bring a stick. Glorious.
That is amazing.
It looked like the security guard or whoever the hell it was trying to handcuff him at one point. We just ran on with only one leg. Kind of, he's probably quite familiar with the concept, but yeah, just hard to do.
That's
really
superb.
Hard to get away from anyone.
Desperately trying to think of a pun. Really, can't get anything though.
They said we're going to do you for pitch invading. I don't have a leg to stand on.
That's a bit rude.
And now to Pete's game after this.
Good news, Ramblers. We have a betting partner. And our betting partner, William Hill, are offering to match any sporting bet from £10 to £25 when you, a listener to the Football Ramble, open a new William Hill sports account. Go to thefootballramble.com/William Hill to find out more and claim your free bet now.
Press silence, please. 4. Play your cards, Mark Bright.
Wow.
I told you. Yeah, maybe I'm running out. Never
wow.
Mind.
You knew don't play your cards even right. You have to go Bright.
Mark Bright.
Okay,
is the one.
You've made your decision.
Pete at thefootballramble.com.
Yeah.
Right. I was born in 1961. This one's an horrible one.
Thanks.
Stop. John Burridge.
No.
Stop. Steven Grusovic.
No.
Stop. Carnu.
In 1996, I suffered a crumpled forehead while playing against Portsmouth. A sliver of shattered bone entered my eye. I suffered a depressed fracture which required 40 staples, facial reconstruction, and 6 metal plates in my skull, which will remain with me for the rest of my life.
Steven Grusovic.
He just looks like that.
Bloody that's intense.
Oh, dear.
He's had an hard life, this fella.
Clearly.
In the year 2000, March, I was stabbed by my wife. He's alright, that's fine.
Okay. Move on.
I worked as Arsenal's Norwegian scout for a short period of time.
Stop. John Jensen.
No.
No.
Wrong with
this
you.
This is tough. This is really tough.
Yeah.
In the year 2000, I took on the manager's role at Bergen Sparta of the Norwegian 5th Division.
Cool.
This is so difficult.
Yeah. And harrowing.
Yeah.
I think that's adding to the difficulty. Just feel so sorry for this stranger.
Stranger? He's not that much of a stranger.
Well, I don't know who he is.
He played a lot for West Ham.
Stop, Ludic McCloskey.
It's Trevor Morley, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, God. I knew that about Trevor Morley. There's a rumour about why he was stabbed.
Yeah, but that was
that we are not going to talk
something.
About.
Yeah, that we can't say, but yeah. Trevor Morley.
I don't know why I was going for goalkeepers there.
Yeah, but I started off with Burridge.
Yeah, you did.
I
remember that was it.
Stabbed by his wife and his own face, unfortunately.
Oh, right, should we have some correspondence?
Mm. I'd bloody love some, yeah.
So,
was the tweet?
Well, as you remember, last week it was about things that happened to you at football when you were 11. This week's question of the week, out on Twitter, we're at Football Ramble, in honour of Home Alone being on TV the other night, which I bloody love. It was, if your home was being invaded by burglars, which footballer would you want as an accomplice to protect it, and what traps would you lay? So maybe you guys don't have to think about it, and then you can put your own afterwards.
Yeah.
Andrew Findlay says I'd get Adiak and Baye. And I'd set up hundreds of mirrors so everywhere you look, all you see is him. Terrifying. Might not be worth it though.
Yeah. No, that's great, that is.
Dave Shaw coming out from a different angle says Gary McAllister, uncle of Kevin McAllister, bound to have a few tricks up his sleeve.
Oh, yeah, right. He knows the house.
Yeah. Mm.
In fact, there's no real film though. If he's got an uncle there,
no, so. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Home, not alone.
Home with Gary McAllister.
Yeah. Home
with Gary McAllister. I think I've seen that Soccer M do it. La Liga UK says Jay Spearing because he just has a good mischievous look about him. Just looks like he'd have a load of marbles.
Like a little guard dog,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He could administer a spearing.
Chris Inman, yeah, this is my favourite. Chris Inman.
Go on then.
At Spanky Patterson. Needs to be respected. Inzaghi, and I'd lay an offside trap.
Yes.
Good. Paul Amy comes straight back in with Roy Keane. No traps, just him, stripped to the waist, baring his teeth and foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. # shit the bed.
Well, that's kind of what I would immediately think. Duncan Ferguson.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Duncan
big dunk.
I would lay a Duncan Ferguson trap.
Yeah. Eamon Warner says, John Terry, the house will be booby-trapped with pint glasses full of urine everywhere, just like the film Signs.
Is it?
Not urine inside. No, I think
it is just water.
Yeah. Andy Edwards, friend of the show.
Andy Edwards,
I'd want Emil Heskey to be the burglar. He'd guarantee to fall into every trap.
No, you're not choosing the burglar, right?
No, exactly.
How can you choose your own burglar?
No. We'd all like to do that.
I remember those books, they were brilliant.
Yeah.
But thank you, Andy.
On the Duncan Ferguson thing, someone tweeted, there's quite a few tweets about Duncan Ferguson, but I thought it was a bit obvious. But someone seemed to imply that when he was burgled, Duncan Ferguson, he specifically rung the police and said, rung the sort of 999 exchange and said, please, no ambulance.
Wow.
Which is quite ruthless, really.
In both cases, quality, he knocked the burglars out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't just hurt them, knocked them out. They're probably stuffed somewhere in his house.
No ambulance.
Yeah.
They're already dead.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do for them now.
I need a coroner.
Yeah. A couple more. Stuart Lane.
Hearse, please.
Stuart Lane says, a horrifically drunk Paul Jewell with a video camera and a BMW.
Oh, God.
If you don't understand that joke, just keep it that way. Yeah. You'll never be the same.
It's not
again.
A joke. It's still a joke.
That is top stuff.
Yeah, and
just a VHS of it, presumably. Yeah. Just put it on.
Yeah, on the big screen.
You dirty animal.
Yeah. And last but not least, Ballard Jones via Facebook says Rodrigo Palacio because I think his rat tail is probably some sort of weapon.
Okay, yeah.
Reasonable.
But yeah, look out for one of those next week.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, listeners. That was great stuff.
I'd roll like in Fenway down the stairs, like a big ball.
Yeah. That takes some doing, though, wouldn't it? can you just grow onto a ball and you don't want it? Okay, fine. Yeah. I literally
because the other option of making him do it is much harder.
Yeah. I'd say so.
He could chase them around the house like Pac Man and eat them.
Ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for a profile. Oh, yes it is. And we've got the handsome Fabio Cannavaro coming into the team with us all.
My gay crush. Is it? One of them. One of the many.
Ticks every box, doesn't he, Cannavaro?
Doesn't he just?
It's what ball men think they look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
Born on the 13th of September, 1973.
Oh, just 6 years after the summer alone?
Just 6 years. Mm. Born in Naples, one of Italy's more rougher cities in the south of the country.
More rougher?
Yes. Yeah. Alan Ruffer.
The roughiest.
it's got a bit of a reputation, hasn't it, Naples?
Yes, yeah. I think that's fair to say.
For being rougher than your average.
I don't know where this is going, Marcus, to be honest.
His father played football for a provincial side, and his brother currently plays for Napoli.
Yeah, Paolo.
Very good player indeed as well.
It is important to know, actually, because Fabio Cannavaro, he does speak a lot about Naples and where he's from, and I think people from that city do have a certain identity, perhaps even a stereotype from the rest of the country. But also, Cannavaro suggests that it influences the football played there.
He seems to make out, from what I've read about Cannavaro in this nature, he seems to make out that growing up in Naples really helped him become the player he was, because it was all about having fun and being outside, and people were a lot more like that in Naples. Whereas he perhaps mentioned that they may not have been in other sort of more, I suppose, formal cities, if you like.
Well, yeah, in a number of interviews, especially one with 442, he spoke about his childhood, and he said that Naples is different to the rest of Italy. He said it was more in common with Rio de Janeiro than Milan, for example.
Well, they get a lot of stick from the north, don't they, Naples? A lot of people, you've got the Liga Nord who don't want the south to be part of Italy at all, and obviously he's a very young country, not been unified for very long, and so.
Well, he talked about a lot of people from Naples not actually supporting the Italian national side, and when Diego Maradona and Argentina played them in the World Cup semi-final of 1990, Maradona was saying, you know, support us kind of thing, and I think
bet he was.
You know,
because was Cannavaro not a ball boy at San Paolo as well?
He was.
Yeah,
he
Maradona was there.
He was a ball boy at the age of 12, and he was right there when they won the league with Maradona on the side. And in the interview, he said, that night there was a big party for all the players, and the ball boys were invited too.
Yeah.
Oh. I was 12.
That is incredible, isn't it? What a brilliantly formative experience.
After that, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, there's very... I mean, nothing else is going to sort of, you know... make you feel like you're a part of the fabric of the club like that.
Like getting hammered with Maradona. Yeah. Hoovering up on the night, you know, yeah. At the age of 12.
On the night they've won the league.
Your penis is the same size as mine.
Wow. Indeed, he talked a lot about playing football on the streets in Naples, and even when training with Napoli's youth setup, he would still go back and play football with his mates in the street using rubbish bags for goalposts or whatever they could find. And he said that, as you said, Luke, that it helped his style of play. He said, on the street, you play in a small space with few players, and it changes your approach. With no rules and little space, you become clever and more flexible, and we risk losing that. He's saying that football nowadays has perhaps become a little bit too rigid. But we often talk about, you know, Messi's the ultimate kind of street player, that kind of thing. But interestingly enough, when he played for Napoli's youth setup, he was actually a right midfielder.
Right.
He wasn't a defender. Now, you think of this kind of joyous football, you know, expressing yourself and all the rest of it. He said it was a point of his career during the semi-final of an under-17s tournament that the opposition had a particularly strong forward.
Oh, he was given a man marking job, wasn't he?
Like? Exactly. Yeah. The coach told Cannavaro to track him wherever he went, and which is how he became a defender, because in his teenage years, he said he learnt how to man mark, read the game from a defender's point of view, and also worked a lot on his jumping, because he's only 5'9", which was not very tall for a centre-back. And many said that he was more focused than a lot of the other young hopefuls in the team, which is why the coach could trust him with all these kind of instructions. But he said it's perhaps something to do with the quality you're born with, because he said that timing is key to his game, and claims that's something you don't learn, it's innate. Which I'm not going to disagree with.
Yeah.
From the great man. And also another little a lovely one was when he was breaking into the first team, he'd sometimes train with the first team. And when he was a youth player and got to mark Maradona in a few of the training sessions, there's quite a famous story where he would go in quite sternly on Diego, and a couple of the Napoli coaches are like, whoa, take it easy there. And Maradona was like, no, don't change your style, pal. You know, you keep going.
Weirdly out of character for Maradona, yeah. Though.
Strange to even see Maradona turn up the training at Napoli. Yeah.
He was like, I'm glad you gave me a kick, I fell asleep there.
Yeah.
Because I am hammered.
So this is why I don't bother coming.
Yeah. He was only at Napoli for 3 years before moving to Parma. Although while at Napoli, he did win the European Under-21 Championships, where he enjoyed the company of such teammates as Francesco Toldo, Christian Panucci, Filippo Inzaghi and Benito Carboni.
Nice.
Hands on the trophy.
Yeah.
Napoli were short of cash, though, and they needed to sell him, so he went off to Parma, teamed up with Gigi Buffon and Lilian Thuram.
Some of the players they had, especially when they won the UEFA Cup, when they beat Marseille.
That's right.
They beat Rangers as well on the way to that.
I think
final.
They did, yeah.
They had... Buffon, Thuram, Sensini, Cannavaro, obviously, Baggio.
Was Ortega in there?
Fuser. Don't think so. Fuser, Veron, Chiesa, Crespo, Aspria.
Yeah.
He was involved. Abel Balbo.
Oh, Abel Balbo.
Yeah, he was.
Come on.
Because Parma are a funny side, because when we grew up.
I remember them being a brilliant side.
Yeah, because we grew up watching Italian football in that era, which traditionally they've not ever really been a big club. They've never won Serie A or anything. They come second. And they've won a few cups and things like that. But it was because they were owned by Parmalat, that massive company that basically went bankrupt. And then Parma went bankrupt, didn't they, in the
80s? That's right.
Had to start again, basically. It's weird, because, I mean, they obviously assembled some side there.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, it's weird. You do think of Parma not as being a giant of Italian football, but almost like a classic team, but they're not. It's just that we grew up in that era.
They happened to be for a few years when they were bankrolled by having massive
like, they were like UEFA Cup, you know, they were always in the UEFA Cup, it seemed.
Yeah, Cup Winners' Cup final.
Yeah.
I was reading up about Parmalat, because it's quite a fascinating story, not so long ago.
Because you love your dairy, didn't you?
I do, yeah, as you can tell, yeah, it's by looking at
it. He's a sod for a yoghurt.
Apparently, when they went bankrupt, they had £13 billion. Worth of black holes in their accounts.
That's hard to hide.
The guy who ran
Maradona-esque.
I mean, trading in the wrong currency is a basic error.
The guy who went to jail, the guy who founded them went to jail for 10 years in Italy. No one goes to jail in Italy.
No one comes out of jail.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, God, it's Lear, is it? Fuck. Yeah. They are screwed then.
Why is this not adding up? 13 billion lira, what's that? 13 billion pounds.
All right. Yeah. I better lay low for a bit.
Yeah. Sell him. Sell Cannavaro. Sell him now.
Back to Cannavaro.
Yeah.
He did win a couple of Coppa Italia Italians there. He was at Parma for 7 years. Would win another Euro Under 21 championship there. Also made his international debut and played against England in the World Cup qualifier in 1998 World Cup qualifier. It was in 97 though. It was
when he knew he was a player.
An honour for the man
playing against England. Completely his luck
at Wembley.
Yeah,
Italy won 1-0. Zola scored. And
did
was,
they?
Yeah, funnily enough, England didn't score. He was brilliant.
No point.
Yeah, we got the nil.
To be fair, England did go ahead of Italy.
Yeah, true.
He kept Alan Shearer quiet. Very quiet.
I wish he'd keep doing it.
Yeah. Can we get him on Match of the Day?
Get him on the sofa.
He kept Big Soul quiet as well that day. Yeah. He kept everybody quiet. He did play a bit at World Cup 98, but it was at Euro 2000 where the world really saw his quality. Part of a back three with Nesta and Juliano, with Maldini coming in as well as cover.
It's not a bad player to have as cover, is it?
Yeah, actually, was Maldini cover? Certainly, those four were the players used in that back three. Reached the final, narrowly lost to France.
Yeah.
2 years later, Italy went out to South Korea in the second round of the World Cup because they will not learn.
No, but they had their revenge against France.
I think they did.
Yeah.
In the same year, though, 2002, Cannavaro moved to Inter. Didn't have the best of times there. Inter.
It's a weird period for Inter where pretty much everyone who played for them didn't have the best of times.
Well, they spent a lot of cash. I mean, he was about £20 million. And then after a couple of years, he was sold to Juventus in a sort of weird exchange for a sub-keeper or something like that.
Right.
Very odd. But he was reunited with Turama Buffon once again, and they won the league twice, although after the Calciopoli scandal, those league titles were taken off him.
Mm.
But he's not having any of it, so... You know.
He's doing what everyone else does, you're still claiming him.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on.
And then, of course, Juve went down to Serie B, a number of players left. He was one of them, went to Madrid, where he won two La Ligas. But before he won those titles, it was the small matter of the 2006 World Cup in Germany.
Mm. That back five. I'm having that all day. Buffon, Grosso, Nesta, Cannavaro, and Zambrotta.
Yeah, but Materazzi came in for Nesta.
He did, yeah, because Nesta got injured against Czech Republic.
That's what Nesta does. I mean, Cannavaro and Nesta had formed quite the centre-back partnership, as you could imagine.
Bloody hell.
I mean... it's really strange, actually.
Can you imagine the manager of the other team before the game? Right, chaps, we're not going to score today.
Yeah.
So...
We need to keep a clean sheet. If they score, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Although, oddly enough, apart from Zidane's penalty... The US were the only team that scored against them. I think it was an own goal, but very strange. Yeah. Very strange indeed. Materazzi and Nesta... Materazzi and Cannavaro formed the centre-back partnership, which would go on in the tournament to win them the cup. And the final match of the tournament was Cannavaro's 100th cap for Italy, where he led them to victory.
He was for me, his best game was against Germany in the semi.
Oh,
he was amazing in that.
What a game it was.
So, yeah, he was so good in that. Mm. And Materazzi, it was all about Materazzi in the final. I mean, he scored the goal, got Zidane, scored a penalty in the shootout as well. Yeah. The Matrix.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he loves it.
Not even their first choice, centre-back.
No. He said Materazzi also said something really funny recently in like a press interview.
That's like Phil Jagielka or something in Brazil, like getting a goal in the final. Already.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But Materazzi said recently in either a press interview or, I don't know, a book he released or something, he was asked what he said to Mourinho when Mourinho left Inter. Because they're really good pals, aren't
they? I remember them seeing them both cry.
Yeah, and he said something like, I can't believe you're leaving me with Benitez. I don't know if it's true, but that's what he said.
Oh dear. So it was after the final when Cannavaro captained Italy to lift the World Cup trophy that he got the nickname Il Muro di Berlino, the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
Which was,
and it's also nice for a Neapolitan to lift a trophy for Italy.
Well, indeed it is. And he said that was a huge thing for the people of Naples. He said a lot more people supported Italy because of him in Naples. And he always sort of said, in a weird way, some people thought of it as almost revenge for some reason. I don't quite know why, but Italy. Yeah.
And also, only defender to win World Player of the Year?
Correct.
Mm. Beat Zidane and Ronaldinho in 2006? Not bad, is it? Defenders never win that.
And he won European Player of the Year, and I think Beckenbauer won it. I'm not sure if another defender did. So he's one of only two, maybe three defenders to have won that trophy. Because FIFA World Player of the Year was, of course, from 1991 to 2009, and then it merged with the Ballon d'Or, whereas the European Player of the Season has been going on a hell of a lot longer. So back at club level, after that incredible World Cup, where he was one of the best players.
And Dunphy said, remember Eamon Dunphy?
Yeah.
The famous loudmouth pundit.
Yeah.
He said that, because remember that sort of time, I think Rio Ferdinand might have signed a new contract. And Dunphy said, if Rio Ferdinand is worth $100,000 a week, then Fabio Cannavaro is worth $100 million a day.
Don't give the controls of your company to that guy.
Parma.
No.
That's what we're doing wrong.
So back at club, he did win two league titles with Madrid and a star-studded team. Before he started to show signs of old age, he went back to Juve for a season.
Lionel Messi was pulling his pants down fairly regularly at that point, I seem to remember.
Indeed, I wanted to gloss over that.
Yeah. Gloss over until you get to his termination. Well, he's terminated.
Oh yeah, Cannavaro, your career has been terminated.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. So he missed out on Euro 2008, although he did win his 127th cap against Brazil in the Confederations Cup.
Bloody hell.
In 2009, beating Maldini's record. He would go on to gain 136 caps for his country, which of course is a record. He's the most capped player.
How many?
Yeah, 136, player in Italy's history, which is bloody ridiculous considering the players they've got, especially centre backs.
It's almost more appearances than Kieran Dyer's had in his career.
Yeah. That's it.
We had time to kick Kieran Dyer.
Am I joking? Not really.
And then he was at World Cup 2010, which was very disappointing, of course. But let's not let
a famous couple of battling draws against New Zealand and Paraguay, was it? Finished by a loss to Slovakia.
They won it in 2006. After this, he wound down his career in Dubai, as you would.
Rocking a lovely small pair of pants, I'd imagine. He does rock a pair of pants very well.
You know, he rarely played because he was riddled with injuries, and he didn't even have a medical when he went to Al Ahly. They were just like, yeah, well, Cannavaro would take him. Didn't get a medical when he turned up, and he was
like, read that's policy at Fram Park.
Isn't he involved in Al Ahly in some way still?
Yeah,
I think he still lives out there, doesn't he? Believe he still lives in the Middle
He's
East.
He's got one of those jobs where he's sort of honorary.
They just hand them like
honorary money
receipts. They just hand them the penthouse to their hotels, mainly. We've got I think Drogba's got one out there.
Yeah, the club basically say, when you're out with your mates, will you tell them about us? Yeah. It's one of those kind of jobs. And then he retired in the summer of 2011. But I mean, an incredible player.
I just remember him as being like, an excellent reader of the game, good timing in the tackle. Really, really good. And he only really became a sort of muck and bullets type defender when he got a bit older.
Which is fair enough. English defenders start like that.
He sort of he brought Messi down at one point and looked up at the referee as if to say, "What do you want me to do?" Do you know what I mean?
I remember Bobby Zamora turning him in the Europa League.
He had a shocker in that game, didn't he? But yeah, I mean, before that, he was a very, very classy defender. Really neat. The thing that I really remember
about
Cannavaro.
What about that tackle on Shevchenko?
Yeah, you sent around a little video a few hours ago of him doing like a kind of, what would you call it? He plants a standing foot and then moves his right foot behind his left foot and just takes the ball off Shevchenko. Yes. Shevchenko hits the deck and he just doesn't know how it's happened.
It's like a little flicked tackle.
I think he was such an intelligent defender, really good reading.
His anticipation as well.
Yeah. One of the all-time greats for sure.
Indeed. One of the greats of the modern era. I'll finish with a quote from El Diego himself. talking about his time at Napoli. He said, "The kids used to panic when they trained with us, and all the more so when they saw me, but one kid was different, a little lad who somehow seemed huge. Every time I saw him, I left with the feeling that I had witnessed a phenomenon."
Right.
And that's Fabio Cannavaro, in case you wondered who it was. Here comes the Dumas Hall of Fame. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble this week. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, the Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Don't forget Football Ramble Christmas drinks, 15th of December. Go to facebook.com/thefootballramble. /footballramble for details. It'll be fun.
Down straight, Luke, my man. Right then, chaps. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Beats.
Goodbye, love you.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next week.
Hi, I'm Joe Barton. Join my video chat on OM.net, where we can talk, you and I, in English or parler français. You and I, 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 you and I.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.